Thank you so much. You can take your seats. I want to speak on a topic titled Looking Through the Eyes of the Spirit. Looking through the eyes of the Spirit. And I would like us to stand to honor the word of God as we read this scripture in 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18 from verse 1 to 2. Please, we can stand. Let's stand now. We shall read 1 Kings chapter 18 from verse 1 and we shall read two verses there, 1 and 2, and then jump to 41 and 46. 1 Kings chapter 18. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. Let's jump to 41. And we read through 46 or 45. Then Elijah said to Ahab, Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now. Look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And seven times he said, Go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Father, I thank you for this word. And I say, as I bring this message to your people, I pray that your anointing shall rest upon each of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seat. We know this story very well. The man of God, Elijah, had said, according to my word, because I am a man of God, it is not going to rain for 3.5 years. It is not going to rain for a period of 3.5 years. When you are a man of God and you are being used of Him, you can speak with authority. Because authority is coming from above. So long as you are right with God, and you can say what I am saying is from God. So Elijah said, for 3.5 years, it is not going to rain here. It's not going to rain. And so it was. It never rained for 3.5 years. There was famine for 3.5 years. A great drought. And then here again, when we read, we see Elijah saying to Ahab, Go up, eat, and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. After the drought, rain was to come. After the drought, there was to be abundance of rain. And so Ahab was wondering, how is there to be rain? And for 3.5 years, we have been used to this drought. Is it really going to rain? Because he was used to that drought period. And there are times that we get used to circumstances that are so hard, that are so difficult. There are situations that we find ourselves in that are so hard
That when God speaks and says, now the time has come for you to arise and get out of that situation, we tend to believe that we were made and created to remain in that same situation. Ahab could not believe it. After a drought, 3.5 years, that it could rain. And what I want to tell you, friends, is that God has a way of stepping into the most discouraging situation and promise victory. God is able to step in to every difficult situation and bring an answer to that situation. He is able. And God does not go with the feelings of people. God does not go with the ideas of people. God does not go with the wisdom of people. God does not work with our opinions. God's ways are not our ways. And his mind is not like our mind. In the book of Judges, chapter 7 and verse 2, we see here Gideon being told by God that he was going to fight. And here, Gideon selected how many people? How many thousands? Huh? 32,000. He said, with this mighty army, I am going to conquer. With this mighty army, I am going to fight and I will have victory. But God told him, you are not going to fight with that number. Reduce the number. Reduce the number. For I do not win the battle because of the number. And from that 2,000, he reduced them to how many? 300. And with the 300, God gave Gideon victory. Praise God. With the 300. He told Gideon, the people that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites in their hands, in your hands. Why? Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me. And they say, mine own hand hath saved me. You know, God does not want to share any glory with anybody. God does not want to share any glory, his glory with anybody. No. He wants, when he has done something, all the glory to go to him. And that's why, God, you come at the bleakest moment of our time, so that he can save us and the glory will go to him. It was Jairus' daughter that Jesus allowed to die so that he could raise her from the dead and the glory will go back to God. God delights in working where men cannot work. God delights in bringing answers to situations that are so difficult to men. God delights in doing what man says is not possible. God specializes in doing the impossible. Jesus allowed Lazarus also to die. His body to stink, so he could raise him from the dead
and glory would go back to our Father in heaven. If he came when Lazarus was sick, they would have said, this is another doctor that has come. Jesus waited until Lazarus was dead and stinking. And he came and he raised him from the dead. And people knew that it was the power of God. God will wait sometimes until the situation that you are in becomes even worse. Worse. And that time he will come to give you rescue, to save you, so that glory may come back to Jesus and to God. In Matthew 19:26, it says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible. Remember, I am talking about seeing or looking through the eyes of the Spirit. That is my theme, and I have not digressed. I'm still there. It is interesting that many times that God speaks increase and multiplication, that is the time that we are in barrenness, and loss. When God is speaking about profit, when God is speaking about victory, when God is speaking about plenty, that is the time we are in barrenness and loss. That is the time. He says there is going to be fruitfulness. There is going to be multiplication. There is going to be abundance. That time we are in barrenness and in loss. Because God speaks rest when we are burdened. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 to 30, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Human weakness provides the ideal opportunity for the display of divine power. I repeat that because it is important for you to get. Human weakness provides the ideal opportunity for the display of divine power. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, Paul was told that time when he had prayed 3 times and God was not bringing the answer, he was told, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My brother, my sister, God's power is manifested when you are weak. In your weakness, that's where God's power is manifested, so that he may be glorified. And now, when Elijah said, it is going to rain, many people did not believe. They didn't believe. They wondered, how is it going to rain? How is it going to rain? They were arguing, how come that we have been having drought for 3.5 years and then within a is going to rain abundantly? It cannot happen. We usually see clouds forming and then coming together, thunder. But now God says, it's going to rain. Ahab, go and eat. When God says he's going to do something, we need to believe. We must believe that he's going to do it. Even when the situation still remains like it is, not going to change, we must believe that what God has said is going to do, he is going to do. God spoke to Abraham and gave him a great promise.
that he was going to be the father of great nation. And he stayed for many years without the son. Joseph was given a dream by God, and then immediately he was thrown into a pit and sold into slavery. But it was done what? Joseph was given a dream. But after that, he was thrown into cell. David was anointed king of Israel, but then sent back to the pastures to tend his sheep, his father's sheep. I do not know what God has talked to you about. I do not know what God has said he's going to bless you with. I do not know what God has told you, I am going to do this for you. But I want to give you assurance this night that whatever God has told you is going to be true, is going to take place. It doesn't matter how long it's going to take, but it shall surely come to happen. Because our God does not speak lies. The widow woman was promised increase by Elijah when she was preparing to die. When she was promised to die, when she was just about to die, she was promised abundant. And she was told, go and prepare. God promised that he would bring a living, breathing army back to life while Ezekiel was staring at their dry bones scattered across the valley. He said, these bones will live again. Did they live? They lived. They lived. Ezekiel, he said, me, I don't know, but you know. Because God knows. God knows. And therefore, this came true. The bones came again to life. God's promise is always followed by God's proving ground. Please note that God's promise is always followed by God's proving ground. He will always prove his ground when he says that he's going to do something. It is easier to trust God in the time of surplus. Yeah, it is easier to say, hallelujah. God is good. But can you trust him in time of barrenness? You should. Because all things work together for good. That's something that many people find it hard to believe. All things work together for good. When you are in difficult situation and somebody comes and tells you something, you know, all things work together for good. Will you believe it? There was one young man, he was employed by a rich man, and he was given a job washing cutlery in the kitchen. And this young man, he was very careless. Every time he washed cutlery, he used to break some. Right now he is washing the cutlery and he breaks a cup. And then the employer comes and asks him, what have you done? You have broken my cup. And then the young man could say, do not worry. All things work together for good. Don't worry, all things work together for. Then another time he breaks a plate. And then the employer would ask him, why are you doing this? And then the young man could say, don't worry. All things work together for good. And he continued that way, saying that all things work together for good. And then it happened that this man, the employer, decided to put him into a big hole in the desert. Because he was just like a slave. So he went and put him in the pit and left him there. And this man was still saying, all things work together for good. And when this employer was now going back home, he met some people who held him. And these people were devil worshippers. So they found somebody who was good because he was a rich man. He had good muscles. He had good flesh. So he was good for a sacrifice. He was good for a sacrifice to the gods of this man, of these people. So he was being now taken for sacrifice. But when he went there, where he was to be sacrificed, and clothes were removed from him, now to be sacrificed, these people who had abdicated him found that one of his feet was not having at all. There was no toe in one of his feet. And therefore, he was disqualified. He could not be sacrificed. He was disqualified. So he was saved by the lack of the toe. And when he found that now he was just about to be sacrificed, but somehow, because of the lack of the toe, he was saved, he went back to the pit. He found the young man. And he told him, "Young man, all things work together for good." It is true what you have been telling me. All things work together for good. And so, friends, I feel the Spirit of the Lord compel me to tell you, right now, in whichever situation you are in, can you say with me that all things work together for good? Yeah, amen. All things work together for good. The greatest test of our faith comes when God says, "I will," and we look around, but he is not doing anything. The greatest test of our faith in God comes when God says, "I will," and we look around, but he hasn't done anything. And yet continues to say, "I am doing something." When you look around, it's like God is not doing anything, but he's still saying, "I will do it." But just because God has not done anything, he does not mean that he will not do it. The fact that nothing is happening does not mean that God is not going to do it. God is still going to do it. In every case, no matter how long it took, God's promise always came to pass. Amen? In every case, no matter how long it took, God's promise always came to pass. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Amen. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. In Psalm 126 and verse 5 to 6, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Yeah? We can weep now, but a time will come when we shall not weep. Right? Sometimes when we can't see it, we think it never will happen. We think that God has forgotten his word and his promise. But that's where our faith comes in, when God is not doing anything. God's promise always requires a step of faith. And faith is not seeing what is there. Faith is seeing what is not there. Faith is seeing what is not there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. One time, I will tell you this. I had planned to get married in the years 1978. Yeah, 1978. 1978. But something happened. I had courted my fiancée for about 2 years. But when we were just about to get married, she fell sick. She fell sick. And when she went to the hospital, Aga Khan Hospital, the doctor sent my friend who had gone to see her and told that friend of mine, go and tell the boyfriend of this man, because this lady has told me that she's going to get married within a very short time, to postpone the wedding. And so the friend of mine told me, and he wanted to know, why do we postpone the wedding? And then we had decided now to go to the hospital and inquire more from the doctor. And the doctor told me that it is true. Please do not continue with the wedding arrangements. But I told the doctor, you see, already cards are out. The rings have been bought. Everything has been done. But the doctor said, please, I'm sorry. So to cut the long story short, my fiancée passed on after a short while. And I tried to announce the postponement of the wedding through radio. But you see, some people did not know. Some people don't listen to radios. So some people came to the wedding. They came. And I was very much down. And I was wondering, shall I ever get married? Shall I ever get married? You have a friend? You want to, you are ready for marriage? And then your friend dies. I was terribly, terribly affected. But my friend, prayed with me and told me, all things work together for good. I couldn't understand that. Would you have understood that yourself? Would you? All things work together for good? No. I was seeing this with my own eyes, and I could see a bad God. God who does not care. God who does not care. Seeing God in my eyes, in my mind, I was seeing God who doesn't love me. How could he allow that to happen? How could he allow that to happen? And then I decided to see things with through the eyes of the Spirit. And as I read the Bible, as I prayed, as I fellowshiped with people, I started to see more clearly that God maybe decided to remove this woman from me, this girl from me, for a reason. For a reason. Maybe before we get married and she leaves me with a kid. Alone. Many things. I realized later, all things work together for good when I discovered the kind of sickness she was suffering from. But I was almost down to a point that I was decided to remain single. But then God revived the love again in me, the desire to get married. And then I continued to pray now. I started praying and continued to pray for my wife. God bless her wherever she is and keep her in good health. Keep her in good health. And God honored my prayer. And one day we met somewhere in Thika. And I looked at this lady. And I felt like
This lady is too good for me. She's too good for me. But I got courage, I approached her. And that was after a long time. I had said, me, I don't care now, I can stay. But now, after I decided to look at things and see them through the eyes of the Spirit, I understood the reason why God sometimes can put you in a difficult situation. Hard time! To a point that you can think God does not care, he doesn't love you. Such moments, God, you speak. He spoke to me. And he said, I'm going to give you somebody else. And he gave me. We better see things in the eyes of the Spirit. Look at things in the eyes of the Spirit. Let me say this. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6 and verse 15 to 17. 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 15 to 17. We read about Elisha, the man of God. There was a big army that had come to fight them. And when this, he had a young man who came out, came out of the house in the morning. And when he saw a mighty army of the enemies, he ran back to the house and told the man of God, alas, man of God, what are we going to do? There is a mighty army that is intending to attack us. But Elisha, the man of God, told the young man, do not worry. Why? Because those who are with us are more than those people. When you are suffering, you are not alone. And God has not promised us a life that has no suffering. But he has said that even through the waters, I will walk with you. Even through the fire, I will walk with you. So Elisha told this man, do not worry, do not fear, because the ones that are with us are more than them. And you know what? Elisha prayed that God would open the eyes of the servant so that they could see the mighty army that was with them. Elijah prayed God that he would open the eyes of the servant. And this is my prayer, that we may use the eyes of the Spirit so that when there is sickness, we see health. When there is poverty, we see riches. When there is unemployment, we see employment. When there are troubles, we see solutions with the eyes of the Spirit. With the eyes of the Spirit. Let me come out to the text. I'm still on my topic, through the eyes of the Spirit. In the First Kings where we were reading, let's go back there. First Kings chapter 18, verse 43. First Kings chapter 18, verse 43. And he said to his servant, Elijah, told his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Now remember, Elijah had said to Ahab, it is going to rain in abundance. But when he told his servant, go, look towards the sea and tell me what you see. He wanted the young man to look and see clouds. But the young man came and said, I don't see anything. But Elijah was still insisting, it is going to rain in abundance.
But when the young man went outside, he could see nothing. And then Elijah told him, go again. And the young man went again. And what did he see? What did he see? Nothing. And Elijah told the young man, go again and look. And then he came back. What do you see? Nothing. And the young man was told, go back again, the fourth time. He looked in the cloud. Nothing. And he came and brought the report. I see nothing. And the young man was told again, go and look. He gave the report. I see nothing. But what was Elijah's word? It is going to rain in abundance. It is going to rain in abundance. The young man went again the sixth time. What do you see? Nothing. I want to ask you, my brother, my sister, how many nothings have you seen in your life? How many nothings have you seen in your life? How many nothings? Maybe you have now seen five nothings. Some of us have seen three nothings. But God is still saying, He's going to bless you abundantly. But when you look with the eyes of the flesh, you see nothing. But God is still saying, I'm going to bless you abundantly. Look through the eyes of the Spirit, and you see the abundance of rain. Abundance of blessings. Now, this young man went now and he looked again the seventh time. When he looked, and that was the seventh time, he didn't see a huge cloud, dark cloud. The Bible says, this man says in verse 44, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand. How much rain can come from such a cloud? How much rain can come from such a cloud? As small as a man's hand. After 3.5 years, God, you mean that you're going to bring rain out of this small cloud? 3.5 years of drought. And you say it's going to rain, and yet what we see is only a handful of cloud. Are you serious? Are you serious that it's going to rain in abundance? But what does the Bible say? It rained heavily. There was an abundance of rain out of that handful of a cloud. Out of the handful of a cloud, there was an abundant rain. Hallelujah. What do you see? Do you see that hand? A small thing in your life? God has spoken to you. He's going to bless you. God has spoken to you. He's going to do mighty things in your life. God has said He's going to bless this ministry, this church. God is going to raise people in this ministry. When you look with the eyes of the flesh, you see a hand. When you look with the eyes of the Spirit, you see abundance of rain. You see abundance of rain. You know, we have a problem with things, with dealing with the small things. We have a problem with dealing with the small things. We like big things. Big things. We like big beginnings. But the Bible says in Zechariah 4 and verse 10, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Maybe you are starting small right now.
where you are. You have started small. But I'm come here to tell you, do not despise that small beginning. God is going to build it up into a big thing. He's going to do that because God is faithful. We have a hard time looking at tiny things and thinking abundance. But small things quickly become big things when God is in them. When God is in small things, they become big things. They become big things. God promised Abraham seed as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky, but it started with one boy. Right? One boy. Jesus fed 5,000 people on a hillside one day, but it started with two fish. And how many loaves? Five. They ate, and a lot remained. God created this universe and all that is in it, but it started with the first day. My message is, when we learn to look at things, even those more, with the eyes of the Spirit, we see the victory of God. We see the victory of God. When we see small things, but we look in the eyes of the Spirit, we see big things. This ministry can grow if you look at it, and you look at it, and you look at it in the eyes of the Spirit, you see big things. One man started a ministry. He bought equipment. When he bought equipment, many, powerful, he put them in the sanctuary. But he called people, they never turned up. And he was holding his microphone and preaching to empty benches. One of the neighbors came to the church and said, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Why are you preaching to empty benches?" And this man said, "I am not using these eyes. I can see this sanctuary filled with men and women. I am using my spiritual eyes." And he was shouting and shouting. Please see this ministry through the eyes of the Spirit. And you are going to see a mighty army. I want to prophesy that this church will grow. And you are going to possess this land. You possess this land. You possess the land. And it's not going to be a dead church. This is going to be a living church. Because you will be a living organism in this church. One pastor was sent to a church which was dead. A church that was dead. People never came to church. And then he went to the neighborhood. He called people to come. They refused to come. And therefore, when they refused to come, he said, "I'm going now to bury the church. I'm going to bury the church." So he wrote in the magazine of that area, community. He invited people to come for the burial of the church. He invited them to come for the burial. They came in a large number. And when they came, he had put up a coffin in front. He had placed a coffin there. And some flowers. And so people came. And he told them, "Before we bury, it's good for you to view." To view what? The coffin, you know, to view the dead. And so people were lining up and they were looking at the dead. But you see what he had done? He had placed a mirror inside. He had placed a mirror inside. You know, the church was dead.
He had placed a mirror inside. And so when people came to see the dead church to be buried, you look at the mirror and then you say, and sat down. And another one came. They looked. They saw the dead church. They sat down. And then he said, now the church is dead. So we're going to bury the dead church. After that, all those people came back to the church. All those people came back to the church. See, God can come to your life at the big bleakest. Bleakest. The most discouraging situation in your life. That's when God will come. Amen. Look through the eye of the Spirit. See victory where there is defeat. See health where there is sickness. See power where there is weakness. Through the eyes of the Spirit. It is my prayer that this church will remain strong, healthy, and will grow, and will prosper. And you will keep on looking through the eyes of the Spirit. Maybe you are there, and you feel like now your life has come to an end. And God is saying that he's going to bless you, but doesn't bless you. Look at things through the eyes of the Spirit and you see what God can do for you and what he's doing for you. Please let us stand up. I said I am going to keep time. The servant of the man of God, Elijah, the seventh time could only see this size of a cloud. It is from this size of a cloud that the rain fell heavily. Rain fell heavily. Friends, maybe now all you can see is a small thing in your life. All you see is weakness in your life. You see dimly. But I pray that God, you open your eyes like the eyes of the servant were opened. God, you open your eyes like the eyes of the servant were opened. And he saw a mighty army. Victory belongs to you. Victory belongs to you. In the name of Jesus, I want to pray with you. If you have a need, right now, where you are, you feel like God has taken too long. You feel like God is not doing anything. He's not doing anything. But I am telling you, maybe you are on the sixth time. Look at that problem with the eyes of the Spirit. And you see the victory of the Lord. I don't know whatever you have in as a need. But in that mood of prayer, can you lift up your hand? You are showing God that this is my position. I want to see with the eyes of the Spirit, and I want to see the victory of God. With the eyes of the Spirit, just lift up your hand. I pray with you.